Hey, it's Francis Lam, and welcome to Splendid Table Selects, where we share the interviews that taught us something new, inspired us, or just made us better cooks and eaters. Our presenting sponsor is Bob's Red Mill. They're an employee-owned company that's offered organic, gluten-free, stone-ground products for decades, and they're experts at making healthy taste amazing. I'll tell you more about Bob's Red Mill later, but first, let's get to the show. Have you ever stopped to think about the phrase happy hour? I mean, it's a little weird, right? I mean, I get it. It's after work. The drinks are cheap, so that's good. But is that really the stuff happiness is made of? Not to mention that most happy hours are honestly kind of like a mad dash to get an extra round before it ends or some half-off orders of pre-fried wings. In Italy, though, they call their version of happy hour aperitivo, and it is very chill and very delicious. Our friend Shauna Seaver talked with Marissa Huff, who wrote a book called Aperitivo, The Cocktail Culture of Italy, to understand the spirit of aperitivo. Have a listen.
Hi, Marissa. It's so great to chat with you today.
Likewise. Thanks for having me.
Now, for the uninitiated, can you paint us a picture of this lovely Italian tradition of aperitivo?
Of course. It is a very special moment of the day. When the day comes to a close, let's say around 6, 7 p.m., through about 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. in the evenings, Italians will walk over to their local bar or cafe, meet up with friends, and sip on a fairly light cocktail, perhaps a glass of wine or a beer, and have a little bar snack to go along with that. And the point of this is really winding down, talking with friends, and enjoying the moment, something very Italian.
Now, how does this differ from the American happy hour?
Well, it's not about dollar tacos and getting drunk, that's for sure. it's strange. In places like Milan, you may end up paying more for your cocktail during the aperitivo time. The idea behind that is that it's going to be prepared in a very beautiful way, hopefully with top quality ingredients. And together with it, you're likely to be served food that might come in the form of small plates, or if not, something that over the past, let's say, 15 years has really developed is a buffet of different foods.
Oh, that sounds great. And the book also makes mention of the fact that aperitivo is primarily a northern Italian tradition. Why is that?
Well, you know, I think that in general, northern Italians drink more. They're more accustomed to drinking alcohol. And in southern Italy, you will find that, of course, people drink wine with meals, but they don't necessarily get together to have something else ahead of their meal, whether it be lunch or dinner. Also, a number of the ingredients that go into these cocktails were produced for the first time in northern Italy. So I can reference vermouth, which is from Turin and the surrounding area, Campari, which comes from Milan, products like Aperol that are from Padova. Campari and Aperol are considered bitters. Vermouth is a more sweet ingredient, but they're all coming from northern Italy, where people traditionally drank those and enjoyed them before meals.
Now, within that region of northern Italy, you go even further to be specific about the type of aperitivo that's found. And those differences in the drinks and food are surprisingly distinct. Can you tell us about the different aperitivo scenarios in each city?
Of course. In Venice, for example, you will find a tradition that is based on bar hopping. You go from one wine bar, which they refer to as baccheri, to another where you will stop in, probably have just a small glass of wine, which they refer to as an ombra, which is the Italian word for shadow. And you might also pick up a cicchetto, which is the equivalent of, let's say, Spanish tapas done Venetian style, bacala mantecata, which is whipped stockfish, possibly served on polenta, or even something as simple as a crostino, so a piece of toasted bread with something delicious on top. And then also in terms of the drink specifically, you'll find that they vary even from city to city within the same region. So in the Veneto region, the spritz is quite popular, which is white wine or Prosecco, soda, and normally a bitter component, which could be Campari or Aperol, most commonly. So in the town of Padua, where I'm living, Aperol's all over the place. It was created there, and also it's what the college kids are loving to drink. Padova is a university town, and come evening time, these students pour into the piazzas, especially in the summer when the weather is nice. You'll find them sipping on a spritz. Oftentimes, that might cost even less than a glass of water, so they will go through a couple of them, and they're light enough that they aren't going to get drunk. They're there just to enjoy time with their friends. And talking about the spritz, in Venice, the locals are drinking a version made with Select, which is a red bitter, similar to Campari, but less strong in alcohol. Up in Trieste, near the border with Slovenia, spritz is served bianco, so just wine and soda water, no bitter component whatsoever, and it's always garnished with a lemon. Up in the mountains, in the Dolomites, you'll find something called a jugo, where they add a elderflower syrup to it and serve that with mint. So there are regional variations on even just a single drink and not just the aperitivo as a whole. They're that specific.
Tell us about the role that food plays in the aperitivo experience.
My pleasure. We often say that Italians drink when they eat and eat when they drink. So the food is really a very important part of the aperitivo experience. And that is also something that's very regionally driven. In a place like Venice, you will find fresh fish like sardines fried beautifully and maybe served with a light sauce. I have a recipe here for salsa rugine, which is like a rust sauce, which is slightly spicy and pairs beautifully with a fried sardine. Then other places like, let's say, Milan, you'll find that they may use their leftover risotto alla milanese, so a saffron risotto pan-fried into like a basically a little crispy pancake, riso al salto. Absolutely beautiful, something that's so easy you can do it at home. And then, you know, ubiquitous across northern Italy, you'll find tramezzini, so these small tea sandwiches made with what looks like Wonder Bread, but has actually only a few beautiful ingredients. It's white bread with a crust cut off, cut into triangles, and stuffed with a variety of different ingredients. It could be prosciutto, mushrooms. I include a recipe for a carbonara tramezzino that I tasted for the first time in Padua, and it's addictive. It's an Italian egg salad made with crispy guanciale and pecorino cheese, so what's not to love?
Oh, my. That all sounds absolutely delicious. Say we wanted to invite friends over and make this a reality here. What are the key components to have on hand?
You know, it really is simple. You can go out and purchase a bottle of sweet Italian vermouth, purchase a bottle of Campari, and you have the beginning of a variety of cocktails. So you mix those two ingredients and you have something called a Mito, a Milano Torino. You add soda water and it becomes an Americano. You, in place of the soda water, add gin and it's a Negroni. You add Prosecco instead of gin, it becomes the Negroni Spagliato. You can even add beer, froth beer, and make it a beer Americano. And then in terms of the food, you can make a crostini spread, toast sliced bread, preferably something like a baguette, and top it with a number of different ingredients. And should, you know, that seem already like too much work, open a bag of potato chips and pull out some olives, and you can consider that an aperitivo. It's really the spirit is about getting together and not stressing out about inviting friends over for a special moment during the day.
Well, Marissa, you've created a beautiful book and made me very hungry and very thirsty. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
That was Shauna Seaver with Marissa Huff, the author of Aperitivo, The Cocktail Culture of Italy. Marissa shared her recipes for fried sardines with salsa rugine and the classic Bellini. And if you want to follow up your aperitivo with a great light summer dish, check out our recipe for farro chickpea salad with sunflower seeds. You'll find all three recipes at splendidtable.org. And if you've never cooked with farro before, it's an ancient whole grain that's sort of like kind of fat brown rice. It's got a great chewy texture and nutty flavor, and it's perfect in salads, as the base for a dish, or in stews. It was a staple in ancient Rome, and it's still popular. You can buy Bob's Red Mill's organic farro and find the recipes for it at bobsredmill.com. I'm Francis Lamb. Thanks for listening to our podcast, and we'll see you next week on our Smokin' Hot regular podcast, all about chilies.
I'm Tanya Mosley. In 1987, my sister Anita vanished without a trace. Decades later, thanks to DNA, we found her. But that's only the beginning of the story. She Has a Name is a new audio documentary that explores the search for redemption, confronting trauma, and healing in the face of unimaginable loss. Subscribe now to Truth Be Told Presents She Has a Name, where every revelation brings us closer to the truth.